Michael O'Mara Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
A little noisy at the beginning there. A lot of sipping and burping. And it was, I know where it's coming from. It's coming from Miami, Florida, ladies and gentlemen. But, yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. What's that? It's a very noisy city.
It is, Mike. It is. And I'm, you know, I'm down in South Beach, as you know.
You might turn your mic down just a touch if you can. I don't know if that's possible. Just a little bit. Kind of picking up everything.
Especially during the intro.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, we'll do a quick replay.
I saw that my mic was muted. I'm sorry that you heard that.
Oh, you did?
No, it was muted for the countdown.
Oh, but not to you guys.
No, it was. But all your noises were during the show music, not the circus music.
I see what you mean. Okay. My apologies, then.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are delighted to have you here with us. In the great tradition of me sending last-minute tapes to Josh, I don't care if this is AI at all. Could care less, because I have a favorite animal that I may share for the rest of my life. Anytime I see it, I might bring this to you. This is the bird against the dogs, and let's do a palate cleanser after we start. Let's get this show on the road, shall we? Here we go. All right. Once again, I always ask the same question to both of you guys: real or AI? What do you think? They're kind of perfect, almost too perfect.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Because I cannot hear you, so I'm going to go and come back.
All right.
With warm.
Is it because I changed layouts that we lost them?
I don't know.
I wonder if we need to just stay over here. Well, we can watch this guy again.
Yeah, and you're the person I would ask about. I mean, perfectly framed center shot. I would imagine difficult to do with AI, I would think.
So it looks real to me.
Okay.
I end up questioning if it's real, because I can't understand someone owning that many dogs.
Right, right.
So that throws me off.
Well, all you have to do in Florida is drive 3 miles. Find out that happens a lot. That's the way that goes.
Right.
You know?
Now, I say real, but at the same time, yesterday I saw the best AI I've ever seen.
You saw the best AI? Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen this fight going around on the internet of it's completely made by AI of Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise?
No.
Oh, that sounds great.
Well, let me play it for you.
This is awesome. I'd like to see this.
This is 100% AI. And if I was a movie maker, I would be excited about the possibility and concerned if I'm an actor.
Okay. All right. Because they can do anything with your own.
You killed Jeffrey Epstein, you animal. He was a good man. He knew too much about our Russia operations. He had to die, and now you die too.
Wow. Might as well be real.
Yeah. Turn your mic down a little bit, Rob, if you can. It's just a little distorted.
That looks even more real than the movie The Fix. That was actually a real movie.
It does look better than real movies.
I will say that I've grown accustomed to it now of questioning everything I see. And I think I'm throwing it out the window as far as content on this show. If it's fake, it's fake. If it makes me laugh, it makes me laugh. Regardless, that's the way it goes with AI. I want to get right to my first update, because we've had a major change in the O'Mara household, and I am delighted to say we are now welcomed back into the bosom of the Subaru family, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
You know what they say about Subarus, Mike?
What's that?
They have a low center of gravity. They're almost impossible to flip.
But you did it.
I did it, but it's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to share which model?
Forester.
Oh, that's what my mom drives.
Forester hybrid.
Oh.
See, that's taking the old lady car and kind of modernizing it.
You know, maybe a little younger. Excuse me?
Oh, yeah, the old lady car.
Did you say old lady car? Yeah, look. Yeah. This is my wife's. I had talked about the the British import that was a total and utter disaster. It was worth it as far as I was concerned. Even
when you use slang, though, Mike, isn't technically Carla your old lady?
My old lady.
Yeah.
My old lady.
That's exactly what I meant.
By the way, if you were in Naples, Florida, and you happen to walk by the dealership and you look through the window, you may have seen two customers hanging by their shoes, signing the documents. That that would be indicative of the state that we were in when we had to make this deal.
Bruins
rule says a hybrid will save a lot of money on gas. Thanks for the bulletin, Bruins. Thank you. That's really good. I would not have known that unless you pointed that out to me. That's
Josh,
awesome.
Josh, Diana Ross did a song, I think in the early 80s. It was called Upside Down.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful song.
I tell you, it just,
what color?
So many,
what color?
Paisley.
No, you're lying. They don't have a pattern car. No. But you see, the thing is
Rob, Subaru's what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Has been for a year. No, it's white.
No, she needs a red car.
No.
Like Target red.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That way you won't see the ball.
God, I hope she doesn't bang this one up. That's a bad. That just was a bad luck vehicle. That was a bad.
Everyone's had one. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just at a point where when she called me a couple of weeks back, 2-3 weeks back, and we had to get the new battery and the alternator put in the thing, and she had mentioned that she was in a left-hand turn lane, just completely stopped. That's when I just said, and then of course the licking their chops over at the aftermarket repair shop.
Sure.
That you know, I believe I've paid for another wing over there. But
it costs them to fix it, Mike, $40. That's how much it costs them to fix it.
Right.
Costs you many thousands of dollars.
It's
so they've got you again upside
down
over the no longer.
I left before she left because it's her car and she has to sign all the documents because if I do the last time I was to get any serious credit from anywhere, I've got an actual tape.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I've got a tape from, I believe, the sales manager, the business manager, the person that signs the paperwork.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see I can find it. You know, Mike, you criticize Rob for it. Get your shit together and figure out how to run. Someday the technology will exist where I won't have to labor over these screens that are just
non-user family.
There
is a new soundboard. It's a Subaru hybrid soundboard.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It saves a lot of money on gas.
And by the way, I'm sure now it's up on the right. Forget it. The joke is over. I'm not going to do it anymore. Why should I even bother? Especially when I'm going, see, not see, the eyes. I'm in a little, you know what? I'm a little testy today. You know, I really am. I'll get to
relax.
That on the bonus show. I don't want to talk with you about why I'm testy on this show, but I will handle it on the bonus show. So
just
if you
think about all that gas money you'll save.
I'm delighted.
That'll
are delighted. It is a win. It is a win in so far as I, right before I was asked by Carla to leave, we made it to, I have to sign off on stuff because my name was on the vehicle we had.
You haven't given her power of attorney yet, Mr.
I haven't given her any power of attorney, and I had to bring the 4,700 page, I call it the O'Mara files, the
great show,
the prenup agreement that we have. No, I sign off and then my job is done. I go to the business office and at the business office at any car dealership, as you know, that's where they make every effort possible to squeeze the last bit of money, extra money that they can get out of you. And I always have the distinct pleasure of going, no. Oh, the intensity should be the more expensive, the louder the no.
Okay.
No way. Absolutely not. I don't think so.
Did they try to sell you on the Silajet coating?
No, they tried to sell me on everything. No, warranty, the, extra yeah, right. warranty for your balls, yeah. Warranty going. And then the last thing, because we were in that Diana Ross state you mentioned before, yes. Rob.
Upside down.
We bought Gap insurance. We did buy that, which is a way
so
of saying
that covers like polo shirts and jeans.
That covers if anything happens to the car. They're not only going to cover the cost of the car, but they will cover the cost of the loan and, that I rolled my upside downness into.
And if I'm not mistaken, Gap loans, they're really reasonable, right? Cheap?
Super reasonable.
That's what I thought.
That's why they have to put it in the monthly cost of the car.
Right. That's because all loans and insurance is helpful to the customer.
Yes,
did you have the helpful sales manager who uses the phrase, don't worry, we'll build it in?
No, that was never done because it was pretty straightforward.
We're
going to
build it into the payment. How
many times did he step out of the office to go talk to his boss?
That never happened. The guy that sold us the car, square shooter, really not.
Good outfit.
Well, no, I research and I don't linger. I know what mine's worth and I know what theirs is worth. And I know, and when you're trading something that, is subject to a wide variety of offers, what was that move that you just did, Rob?
Will you settle down, Mike?
I'm not used to the in-ears.
I'm not used to the in-ear things. And so if they move, I have to correct them. So.
But it was like, I take them out and put them in and everything. Yeah. You can go ahead. It doesn't matter. You was like, were you trying?
It was very, yeah.
It was a feminine move.
I like that you put your headphones on like Chuck Connors and I do it like Liza. So, I mean, still we're able to do the show.
Did you go to a Subaru dealership or like Crazy Cars?
No, dealership. No.
Okay.
No, dealership.
Okay.
This is this is a used vehicle that I traded. I bought it used.
Oh, okay.
And that I've taken a giant step backwards from that based on this experience. But it was no fuss, no muss. But I don't care what the dealership is. When you get into a business manager's office, they are required to try to squeeze the last bit of moolah out of you, and that's the way it works. And I was fine. And they're usually really cool with the answer no. You know,
yeah. But they have to try.
Yes. Yeah. You got to try. Great Buddy Rich song.
I did diffuse the last time I bought a new car. Is I went in and this business manager, the entire desk is like an iPad.
That's what this was also.
So it's like 4 by 5 feet, and he sits down and he says, this and this, and sign this and all this. And I said, you know what? I hate your desk. I hate your iPad desk.
I know. You probably hate it as much as I enjoy it. I like the
Why
fact that it's...
Why do you love it?
Because it's there's not shuffling of papers all over the place. That's why. Now, there probably was later, but I was asked by Carly, I said, you can go now. And
she told you to go.
Well, the business manager, well, that's it. She said, that's it for you. And Carla looked over at me because I guess now Carla can be much more difficult than I can be. Much more difficult.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And then she looks at me and says, okay, I'll see you back at home. And that was my cue to beat feet and get on out of there. And,
get on the bus and go on home.
And then it was wait for her to get home and then pick my kid up and a celebratory dinner at the local casual dining establishment.
I love
that. It was fun. Yes.
Because you've saved so much money on gas that you could have a celebratory dinner.
I'm so sad. Sometimes it's really, really sad. My mind was racing. But the sad thing and the real psychoanalysis, I'm not doing this as a tease for the bonus show, but I'm sorry, you have to have it. This is my preference to talk about it in the bonus show among friends. That's what we do. And I will go into my deep psychoanalysis. Now, we're talking about something that was actually a pleasant experience because at the heart of this transaction was the feeling that my wife will never be stranded on the road again.
That's a great feeling.
It is a great feeling. You know that they are, I will never use the term for a car bulletproof again because that was used by the shyster salesperson at the aftermarket repair shop. So I won't say that because the bulletproof that he mentioned was not bulletproof. Not at all.
Mike, the bullet, it was a marshmallow gun.
It was not cool.
Right.
Sky Mall magazine, which I love. I love Sky Mall. It's great. Right. Mike, do you need any inspirational quotes from Vince Lombardi and Brass? They've got it in the Sky Mall magazine.
The Sky Mall magazine with Vince Lombardi.
Exactly, and Marshmallow Goods.
No, the delight that I have now, and by the way, just an insight into the world of electric vehicles that indicated on multiple occasions when I was discussing electric vehicles, apparently not a real big seller at the Subaru dealership. Apparently, there's a range issue with their particular model.
I didn't even realize they. I didn't know that they were pushing an electric car. I knew they had one.
Oh, you're not familiar with the Solterra.
Oh, that means Sunterra.
Yeah. So it's
is it like a crossover? What does it look like?
They didn't have one on the lot. They did because they don't have a lot of them around because they didn't sell them. That's that's kind of where they were. But I'm happy to say that it's been done. Positive review from Mrs. O'Mara, positive review from my son, and a positive review by me because I love the idea of great gas mileage and, you know, and a little better tech, a little more technology. And cars nowadays, so many of these cars that have the bells and whistles as standard equipment. And I think that's
so much fun.
Very, very exciting. I'm very happy. I was so happy. I took my kid to the bus stop and I used the new car just for fun. Just for fun today.
That is fun.
How about that?
Did they actually, this might be a better question for Carla. At the Subaru dealership that I purchased at, they normally give you like time to make an appointment to have a one-on-one teacher teach you all the features of the car.
The dude came out, it did it right standing over Carla. I'm sitting in the back, just easy peasy. Okay, no problem at all. It was
wonderful. They also give you a gas card if you do it. Mm-hmm. So, but that really wouldn't do you much good now, would it?
Not at all. But I'm really, that's it. So that's it. And goodbye. You sucked. You know, I have to say that. And by the way, if the car was respond to me and say, so, why do you think I suck? You suck because you're poorly, your engines are poorly manufactured. Well, I'm sorry, I'll be sorry to see you go. No, you won't.
Yeah. No, you tell that car that it was sorry when we kept their country from sinking into the ocean in 1940.
Then Mrs. O'Mara came in with the sales guy, and the sales guy goes, "Well, we have a celebrity because she's got the sticker of the Mike O'Mara show on on the." And you know when somebody says that and they have absolutely no idea who you are.
Really, they might as well be saying "F you."
Right, and that's really, after a good week of being spotted and acknowledged. Mm-hmm. Sure. I had a guy at the Happy Valley that was in the parking lot and. What was the quote? He said, I finally get to meet you. And he was a listener from Maryland.
And then he went for his gun.
he took out a throwing star and threw it right at my neck. And the lady that was saying that, she goes to sleep with me every night. That's two in 1 week. This one was just, hey, he saw my name and show and assumed it was something. And I had to go through the tedious explanation of what we do, which
Mike, sports don't or like politics? What is it? What is it you do?
That's it. Sports or politics,
And people listen to this show.
that's I've gotten that. One. Yeah,
that's another one, and I answer the same way every time. I say, not really, but anyway, it's a lot of fun, and I'm very happy that it's done. And then it was yesterday, and that was after a very depressing day watching highlights of the congressional hearings with Attorney General Pam Bondi and congressional Democrats just. Screaming at each other.
I watched that yesterday. Why were all the congressional people on skates? Ice skates. Why is
That's it. We'll get to that. We will get to that because I have a very, very, I have the questions are multifold.
Okay.
But listen, I don't know if you could get anybody that comes into a congressional hearing with more of a defensive attitude and a defiant attitude than anybody I've ever seen in government. I think this is history making, and there have been conflicts with people, but there's never been anything like somebody who's asked a question that's that's, you know, very provocative and then answers with an insult and brings an actual book, a dossier on congressional leaders with their conspiracies, problems, controversies, all in a book, so that she can hurl back an insult. Pam Bondi.
Well, these things are never. Yeah, she came in angrier and prepared to argue. Like, not prepared to actually have a real conversation, but prepared to argue. But these things are always a waste of time. I've never understood the, well, I only answer this yes or no. Because they all do that. Because they all just want their talking points.
They know she is going to stall and deflect, and that's what she's going to do.
But they spin the whole thing, too. And they're like, they take something that's got...
No, they don't. They tell the truth, John.
Oh, yeah. You too.
Right. No,
an ass. She's a silly ass. And she's one of the nastiest women I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely. And she's like covering up a lot of nasty stuff. And I hate it. But getting back to your point, what's she covering up? She's covering up the Epstein situation.
Are you sure?
With your guy. Your wonderful. I'm 100% sure.
How?
Because I have read everything there is to know about it. I know it. I don't want to turn this into Fox News.
No, I'm serious. Like, they keep saying, well, if something's there, then it's there. Like, you can't. People argue that there's all this stuff there, but where is it?
Why do they say that, Josh?
Because
pieces of paper that are all
the same reason they say
black. They're all redacted. All of them.
I know. And then your side says, well, that black line means it's Trump. But your side also says...
Trump's we said name. It's redacted. We don't have names. Why don't you get his name?
And then it says Trump's name is in the Epstein reports 38,000 times, mostly by news articles. But they leave out the news articles part because he's been in
Josh,
the news.
It's very divisive when you say your side. Can't we all just get along?
I say that to Josh. What happened to my camera? What was that?
It really wanted to show your gut.
What happened?
Just wanted to drop for a moment. I don't know what that was.
Josh, we're going to get yelled at. You know, you're going to get yelled at. I'm going to get yelled at.
There's no win.
It's going
to
be.
Everyone should come before Congress prepared and ready to take their medicine, just like Mel Karmazin.
All right. Now, let's go. There's nothing we will agree on about Pam Bondi. There's nothing.
She's not a great person. She comes in angry. We'll agree with all that.
All right. Look, the fact is that on the front of any congressional hearing, we were forced. Remember years ago with the Janet Jackson incident?
Yes.
And they brought all the broadcasting heads into Congress. And that was the very first time when we were on the receiving end. And when we say receiving end, it was our CEO, Mel Karmazin, wonderful human being.
Really warm.
Who was on the hot seat. And that was the first time in my life that I became aware of the fact that the format of congressional hearings is designed to allow congressional leaders to have their moment in the sun and to pontificate and to give their spiel. And that's just the way it is. And it's
structured and grandstanding is what it's all about.
And we sat there and heard these guys lambasted, and because it was attacking the industry we were in, I got a real sense of that. You know, I really am. And look, besides your man, the allegations are multifold that she is covering up for donors, and that there have been people prior to her who have covered up as well. However, her combative nature and her really not using the situation is with Mel Karmazin, with anybody that goes before Congress. If you're called in front of Congress, you eat the S sandwich.
You're supposed to.
There's no win either way. So you just sit there quietly.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the no win being, I'm not sure anything is accomplished by
nothing
this.
Nothing is accomplished, exactly.
Outside of PR on both sides, manipulated and used, you know?
Yeah, that's why they have their 5-minute time and there's no structure where you'll get an immigration thing for 5 minutes. No question takes 5 minutes to ask. And then you get another one about Epstein and then another one about immigration. There's no even format.
So Bondi the Bee was in front of Congress. And she, when she went in front of the Senate, she just had it all ready to counter these Senate. She was defiant. Yeah. She was insulting. She laid all the, well, they got that book in Congress. And so she, when she went before the congressional hearing, they used a strategy. And this was their strategy. And the strategy was, I reclaim my time. As soon as she would go off on one of the things, they would stream. They wouldn't let her talk. Uh-huh. And I thought it was a, you know, for somebody who was being defiant before, that was their little spiel. Because look, I believe that I agree that there is really not a lot that gets done from this. And I also agree that when a person goes before the Congress, it's kind of the S sandwich. They're there because they got in trouble. Yeah. It's like being interviewed by 60 Minutes. Right. That's why you're there. You're there because you did something wrong, or you're there to get yelled at.
I miss that show.
Mm-hmm. 60 Minutes they canceled it?
Since they canceled it.
It's for the cameras, because if they want real answers to any of these questions, they'll all talk when the cameras shut down.
You don't get them anymore, but it's reminiscent of the old days of the filibuster. Where you can just talk and talk and talk, and they've got no check or balance over you.
As far as the Democrats are concerned, it is a, Pam Bondi is spearheading the Justice Department with their investigations of political foes. As obvious as that would, if you counted the investigations that have been quashed and the investigations that have been pursued, it would be as obvious as the day in long. But as Josh says, they're not going to fix that in a congressional hearing. She's going to keep on keeping on until she's out, and she ain't going to be out, because the only way she'd be out is if the president kicked her out, and the president ain't going to kick her out because she's the best butt buddy of Donald Trump in the administration. She might be the number one do his bidding person that's in there. So, Josh, you are correct when you say nothing gets done.
Nothing gets accomplished. Nothing gets accomplished. But we all agree with just put up redact everything with those Epstein files and just let it all fall apart.
I still think that I don't get it. And they said, well, it's what's the word they used where it's repetitive, where it's the same information. Well, if that's the case, go ahead.
Right.
And that was said a bunch of times. And I think America in general wants to see everybody and wants to be. And by the way, they pointed out that some of these people in publicly traded companies have resigned because of this.
Yes.
And it's amazing how they have more accountability now than members of government. And that's stunning to me. And the fact is that the idea of grandstanding by bringing the victims in would normally, I would just leave it at that. But then you think about the fact that they were exposed, and the perpetrators were not exposed, and the women were exposed.
Right.
It's like, come on, can we get this bizarro world? And then she just stands up there with her crusty mascara on and doesn't acknowledge, and then goes to her book of insults. Yeah. I found the whole thing. What did I write down here? Watching it is an exercise in complete uselessness.
Yep.
I feel as somebody, although I derive a modicum of satisfaction, as I'm sure Josh does when she punches back, I still don't think it does any good. I don't think it does any good at all. It sucks.
No, and I had on the little YouTube where it does the split screen of the four news channels during it. And it's interesting because then every news channel happens to take their breaks when it goes against their team.
That's
interesting.
Yeah, so
I'm consuming everything almost online highlights now. I'm looking forward to baseball season when Michael and I in the morning will watch our baseball games.
That's cool.
That's kind of the way we're going to roll. I love that. And we'll just have to go ahead.
I was going to say, after all this goes on, did Bad Bunny weigh in? Cuz I'd love to know.
All I know.
Oh, he did, but no one understood it.
Oh, okay. That's a shame, right? Sad.
I just feel as though I feel like this is a moment in our history that I think that I'm with a lot of people that aren't necessarily doing it along political lines. we just want this to be over.
Sure.
We want, I don't know how you punch out of it. I don't know how it'll ever change. I really don't, but I just want it to be over. I want all of this to be over. I want some degree of, I hate the word unity because people all use it and it's mm-hmm. BS. I want some level of class returned to
decorum.
Yeah. I want it to be better. I think both the people, the moderates on the right and the moderates on the left want it to be better. Sure. Sucks right now.
But I also think that they want that decorum on their side, where they want, well, everything will calm down when I win.
Yeah, and I think that's which part of the problem.
Doesn't work. Yeah, it's part of the problem.
It's never going to work. We have to grow up. I get back to, it's like when everybody's been on a highway when you're passing a car.
Right.
And the car is going, say, you're on a highway that's got a speed limit of 70 miles per hour like we do on 75. And you are stuck behind that car going 55. And then finally, you get a car passing you so you can move into the left lane. And as you begin to pass that car that's been comfortably going 55 right. when they were in front of you, the car suddenly surges up to 70 because it's not that they want to go that speed. It's that they just don't want you to win. We've probably all done it at one time or another. It's the human condition. It's the way it is. And I think in order to get by that, one has to gather one's wits and emotions and grow up and mm-hmm. realize that you might hate the person, but you have to have a level of decorum. And they use that word a lot in Congress. And there is, it's just been eroding and eroding and eroding. And as I said, uselessness. I mean, do you think that do you think the congressional leaders, the Democratic congressional leaders, leave that hearing feeling as though they have done anything other than maybe be a good spokesperson for their side? I don't think they're. And Pam Bondi's high-fiving people based on how she sat there and took the bullets? I don't know. I have no idea.
Pam Bondi's very proud of the insult she got off. And I bet she does high five about the fact that in her head she probably made people look stupid.
So
the politicians that are leaving, Mike, I think what they're going to be thinking is not so much about how they look for their team, it's how they look for themselves. And this is this is the freest political big ad they can get is to get up and spout off.
I mean, it was certainly on all the news stations. It was numero uno.
I mean, you're going to lack decorum if your basic motivation is selfishness.
Yep.
And when they get up there and they do that, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll send emails the next 2 days with the clips of themselves on there to their donors.
For raising money.
Saying, here's why I need more money.
Yeah.
And Josh, you might not want to hear this, but I think that when you're talking about the lack of class, lack of decorum, this is a New York City-based rhythm. That, how long have for my entire adult life, we've always said people in New York, don't ask anybody for that in New York. They wouldn't get, we're tough. We're rude. We don't give you. And that's Donald Trump. I mean, Trump is the quintessential New York guy. And by the way, I'm going to take it back to radio as well. I don't think that I personally was a New York kind of guy.
Right.
So that's why in New York City, the local audience probably didn't resonate because of just that kind of, take no prisoners. Hate you. You hate me attitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what, what people think of me by saying that. I think everybody likes that. I will tease once again. This will be the last time I tease.
Okay.
I will be discussing my own keeping it in my pants that I have to do. And I have to fight it. And you want to lash out. And it requires discipline. And I was very borderline. And once the dust settles, once you calm down, once you're not having that fight, do you think anybody... do you think Pam, I'm sorry, I'm going to use Pam Bondi because she's the one that had the, well, you did this. Do you think that when you get off those insults, say it's in a personal relationship, do you think you really, like, once the dust settles and you calm down, do you think you reflect on that with a positive attitude? I don't think you do. I think most people don't. I think
I bet you look back at it
and you might feel, you really think she does? Yeah, maybe she
because
does.
She's,
maybe
she's,
she does.
She's
know.
Broken, and you have to have something deep inside yourself to go up and start throwing insults in Congress. That is someone who is out to accomplish something that is not right. And she's going to think that she was a great success because she was the first person.
The give and take between the Democratic congressional members and Pam Bondi. Mm-hmm. If you got two guys that are in a bar having an exchange like that, 90% of the time it's going to result in somebody being pushed on their ass or somebody throwing a punch.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That's not the normal way people communicate. Go to bars everywhere. Did I see bar fights? I owned a bar. I saw bar fights all the time. That's the way it normally is. And it's an exception to the rule. Well, you go into that hearing and that uselessness is the rule, not the exception. Yeah. It is, for me, it's one of the most damning things that I've ever seen in our our history.
Didn't you run into Pam Biondi at Clyde's?
Bondi, not Biondi.
Forgive me.
Dick Biondi, the Wild Eye Trallium, was a disc jockey.
That was a disc jockey, yes.
Yeah. Hi, it's Dick Biondi, yeah.
Didn't you run into Bondi at the Clyde's downtown in D.C.?
You know what's interesting to me? And I'll wrap it up with this.
Okay.
Getting back to that whole New York vibe.
Mindset,
right?
Yeah.
The mindset of, you know, I'll trash you, I'm rude, I don't care, I've seen it all, blah, blah, blah. We've all experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that if you're going to put it on an East Coast thing, no. It's a New York thing.
It is absolutely a New York thing. Yeah.
Is there a Boston element? Is there a Chicago element? Is there a city element? Yeah, but New York is... Pardon the pun, ground zero for all of that crap. Mm-hmm. And I just can't stand it. I've never been able to like it.
Did you realize New York was that much of the epicenter of it until we started going up there regularly?
Yeah, because I grew up closer to New York than you do. I spent more time in New York than you did. And it just, it is something where, you know, where do we go? Mm-hmm. I mean, God, it's changed. So I know there's always been infighting. There's always been battling. There always has. But then there was that moment where the civility would be forced on the combatants.
Yeah.
And now there doesn't seem to be any decorum whatsoever. We'll see what happens. And by the way, I feel that way in many, many areas in our pop culture.
Sure.
As well. I think that exists,
and
too.
I think it's great.
We have to take a break. We got news coming up here, ladies and gentlemen. And later on, I want to talk about these Olympics that I have not seen one event. I'm gonna pick your brains and see if anybody can help me with this. Hello. I'd like to make an introduction. You know, when you make me do acting, it's a little difficult.
It's fun, though. Again. Mike, don't you think it's fun?
Yes, it is. Fun's the best thing to have. Hello. I'd like to make an introduction.
Thank you.
I'd like you to meet your meat. Omaha Steaks. Stay satisfied. Get energy and fuel your routine, people, with premium prepackaged protein delivered to your door. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken, and pork. And
what?
More. Pork.
Okay.
They have an unmatched variety of high quality proteins that everyone loves. Right now, you can taste the difference and get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with promo code Mike at checkout. I don't need to tell you how great Omaha Steaks are, but I will. They are my favorite because they do beef right. Unrivaled quality and variety with every bite, backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. A fruit wine that you will... No, I'm sorry. Omaha Steaks.
Yeah.
Omaha Steaks has been America's original family-owned butcher since 1917. Let Omaha Steaks Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code Mike at checkout. Mike is a new code, so pay attention. That's O-M-A-H-A, steaks.com. Promo code Mike. Terms apply. See site for details. So hit it.
Mike, my favorite part of that read is when you go, but I will.
But I will.
It's a little Shepard Smith there.
The wedding show.
I don't have the sound effect, but thank you, Rolando, for the super chat.
Oh, that's great. Hey, thank you very much, Rolando.
Good guy.
Let's not forget, Rolando wanted us to say, let's not forget the Epstein emails go back 3 administrations. Thank you, Rolando. Thank you for sliding that equivalency.
That's great.
That's always what we have. Well,
I'd forgotten
they
that.
They did it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How's that math work? Isn't that back to Trump? This is one.
Let me see. Then
Biden was two, then Trump, and then Trump was third.
Yeah,
I think that math doesn't add up.
I don't know.
Hey, you know what I found out yesterday that totally blew my mind? Did you know Herbert Hoover outlived John F. Kennedy?
Really?
Herbert Hoover died in 1964.
Well, there's good reason for that.
What's that?
Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Thank you. It's almost Valentine's Day. Here they come. Yeah. I'm going to burn them all right here. If you're single and hoping to fall head over heels in love by Saturday, that's probably a tall order. But it might be statistically more likely if you haven't felt that before. According to a study, the average American falls passionately in love just twice in their lifetime. In my case, only once.
Oh, Mike, you're sweet.
14% of single adults, 1 in 7, have never experienced passion in love at all, so they're due. Only 11% of people say they have experienced passionate love 4 or more times, and men are more likely to experience it than women. That surprises me, but that trend is only true among straight guys. Everyone else is similarly likely. The study included 10,000 people between the ages of 18 and 99. Hey, 99, that's great. I love that. And when asked if they'd experienced that intense butterflies in the stomach love, about 30% said it happened with one person. Another 30% said it happened twice. Those were by far the most common answers. Naturally, the numbers increased with age, which means that it isn't only a young person thing.
Yeah.
It happens throughout life. The study didn't define passionate love, leaving it up to interpretation, but generally, it's that early relationship intensity, obsessively thinking about your partner, intense longing when you're apart, and heightened arousal when you're together. I should point out that at dinner last night, after the soft glow of the Subaru purchase was winding down, and I happened to mention the moment with Paulina Poroskova on the show, I was looking at cobra eyes. Right after that, I looked at cobra eyes. She gave me the dead cobra eyes on that one.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
I know, it's unfortunate, but it happened, ladies and gentlemen.
When you looked at the Subaru, did you get butterflies in your tummy?
Longing.
Yeah, I know.
Lust.
Mike, increased arousal.
Desire. speaking of Valentine's Day, in a new poll, here we go. It's the last one I'll have for you. 82% of Americans say they believe that Valentine's Day is a trick to make people spend more money. Look up Rob Spiewak in the dictionary.
Yeah,
there
it's fixed. It's fixed. The whole thing is fixed.
40% of people admit to having a Valentine's Day budget, and 48% of people would not marry someone with bad budgeting habits. In fact, 60% say irresponsible spending is a bigger turnoff than bad breath. What do you think? How would Carrie feel about that, Rob?
Carrie hates everything, so it doesn't make any difference.
But would she think that spending badly and irresponsibly spending is worse than having bad breath? But where do you think she'd line up on that one?
Well, she hates the waste of money, and I've seen her return so many gifts I've given her because that's just what she... I think that she would deal with bad breath before she would deal with irresponsible spending. I do.
She would not like bad breath?
No, she would take bad breath if I was a more responsible spender. But instead, I'm a moron with kissing sweet breath.
Even something that superficial, it's like literally doing an inquisition with him. Do you notice that? It really is. He's careful.
No,
you know why he's careful? Because he's worried. Because he's worried that she will gouge his eyes out.
It was a complicated question because you started out with Valentine's and then it got into budgeting.
No, Rob, We need a yes or no answer.
Okay. There you go.
The answer is yes.
I'm reclaiming my time.
Stop filibustering, Rob Spiewak.
The answer is yes.
27% of Americans don't expect their Valentine. That was funny to spend any money on a gift. 26% expect something modest, definitely under $50. 35% say they expect something a little more expensive, between $50 and $100. And just 12% want their Valentine spending more than $100.
Not one thin dime.
Mike, nothing. Are you going to play the car?
No.
Early Valentine's present?
No.
You could put a heart on it. Nice white car with a big red heart.
Hey, potty mouth. Stop it. All right.
I know what you mean.
Norwegian biathlete. You remember we talked about him yesterday. I'll try to get the name right. Sturla Holm Lagreed.
Oh, the cheater.
Or Lagreed. He became a sensation, not for winning. They did a bit on The Daily Show about him that was so funny. He became a sensation, not for winning, but for admitting that he cheated on his girlfriend. Well, said love of Sturla's life that he apologized to and was so contrite with that post-race interview. She has spoken, although she's choosing to remain anonymous. Boo. And sad to say, there's no happy Hollywood ending. At least not yet. She said, quote, "It's hard to forgive even after a declaration of love in front of the whole world."
Listen to me, Mike. This, when she responded, and especially since she's anonymous, this is a setup. We're being played. Because it's unreal enough that he would take his moment to apologize to the lady, but now he's building a story. And he's controlling the narrative, and this will be a lifetime movie.
Do you think everybody's that sophisticated that they are manipulating these things?
No,
for
a lot of
media?
People are. A lot of people are stupid, and they won't try. But then
the
there
Norwegians.
Are those people. Yeah, the Norwegians are crafty, Mike. No, watch. This will turn into some sort of movie.
She says, "I did not choose to be put in this position, and it hurts to have to be in it. We've had contact, and he is aware of my opinions on this." Yesterday, Sturla apologized to her and said, "I cannot change what has happened."
Yeah,
it just makes the whole thing kind of funny. They've been together 6 months, too. And as they said on The Daily Show last night, that's not long enough to fart in front of each other. OK,
that's basically right. Yeah.
Especially when he cheated 3 months in.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's the halfway mark. I think that's traditional in Norway.
She says, "I will now put this behind me and focus on the..." No, Sturla said that. "I will now put it behind me and focus on the Olympic. I will not be answering any further questions." He also apologized for taking the spotlight away from his teammate, Johan Olaf Button, B-O-T-N, who apparently is like a prodigy and one of the best cross-country skiers.
Yeah,
so
he's a prodigy in not screwing up his girlfriend.
There you go. Thanks.
And, Mike, a lot of people, even though it's anonymous, a lot of people have a theory who his girlfriend is, and it's Vicky Lawrence.
No, it's Paulina Poroskova.
It's also, she's 60.
It's also a chance to get some sympathy in the Olympic Village.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, you mean so he can bang in there too?
Yeah.
Do you think that's what she rejected me as he walks down the hallway pantless?
Yeah, rager.
Grumpy old man Gene Simmons. And by the way, I rarely skip a Gene Simmons story simply because it allows me to do the voice of Gene Simmons.
Love Gene Simmons, yes.
That's full disclosure. He is still sore about rappers being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He says, quote,
"The fact that Iron Maiden is not in the hall when they can sell out stadiums and Grandmaster Flash is, right? Ice Cube and I had a back and forth about this. He's a bright guy, and I respect what he's done."
He's what? Not,
I respect what he's done. It's not my music. I don't come from the ghetto. It doesn't speak my language. I just want to know when Led Zeppelin is going to be in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame. Oh, you can't do that? Oh, really? Music has labels because it describes an approach.
He's off. He's way, way off. And by the way, Gene, I have a question.
No, after the shtick, I might agree with him.
I don't know.
I don't think it's racist to say, you know, it depends on, I mean, rock and roll. If you're taking it like rock and roll, it's got to be rock. It's a genre. It's a music format.
But I think a lot of rap music has derived itself from rock music, be it samples or the way that, you know, the themes at Contender.
But
I think that anyone who changed, and first of all, you call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've always more thought of it as like a pop music Hall of Fame. And,
but that's the problem. They did that for the money.
Yeah, I guess. But to my estimation, it's fine. If they have been important in music, they should be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Is Gene Simmons in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame?
Rob?
No, he's not. He's not. But you know who is? Jackie Mason is.
I just want to say that it comes up. You want to be in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame? Of course, I've never been there. So you're going to put him in the actually, Hall of Fame? What are we doing? I don't
understand. True answer to that is that Gene Simmons will never be in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame because he never derived any of his act from hip hop. But hip hop derived almost all of their music from rock and roll, which we stole from the African American community in the early 50s anyway. They're just claiming it back.
You know something, Rob? You make a good point.
Thank you, Gene.
I yield back my time.
Would you like a bowl of chicken soup?
All right. I give you this story under the heading, we're such rubes.
We are.
We really are. We are such rubes. This story, I don't know where it came from, who propagated it, but I smell a big rat. Mm-hmm. Players, we've heard it before, players on the winning Super Bowl team get $178,000 from the NFL, but Seattle Seahawks quarterback Sam Darnold will actually lose money on the game. I've heard this 1,000 times now. Yeah. That's because it was played.
We talked about it on the show yesterday.
I know, but I've also heard it from lots of different sources. Yes. The story has still got some legs because it was played in California where they take everything. I am so sick of hearing the ultra-rich bitch about California. I really am. Listen to this. In Darnold's case, we all heard the story yesterday.
Right.
The winning share was $178,000, and he's got to pay $200,000 to $250,000 to the state. And it's called the jock tax.
What's the value of the ring? Is the ring included in that $170,000?
Let me give you let me lay it all out.
Okay.
It was played in California, which has a jock tax. It's an additional tax on out-of-state players based on how many duty days they spend in the state for a game. In Darnold's case, he'll be charged for at least 8 days based on his $105 million 3-year contract with the Seahawks, plus a $2.5 million bonus for winning the Super Bowl. He'll pay between $200,000 and $250,000. Guess what? It ain't going to hurt the rest of us, poor folks. Okay? So maybe you get a service in California easier than another state because of this stuff. Come on. Use your noggins. Okay? Why are we whining for the rich? Stop it. Be smart about this. We need to prop people up everywhere that are living out of refrigerator boxes.
Mike, we're being played by the NFL. The NFL wants us to side on the side of the rich. That are having to pay this money because
they do.
That's money they want.
This story
they
makes me want to barf. You ready for that? I'll say it again. $105 million over 3 years. Do the math. Plus, just for winning the game, a $2.5 million bonus for winning it all. So that guy peels off $200,000 to go to, you know, services for people. Come on. Don't be stupid. Really, stop. Stop being, who would be outraged about that? Really?
I would rather him pay that money to his home state of Washington and to the city that won the Super Bowl, the team that he works for.
Now, some days arguing with you about almost everything gets wearying. You know, it really, really does.
When is the dude? Does he have enough time to get out and buy a Subaru?
You know, I shouldn't say that to Josh because, you know, Josh, you're right. If it went to his home state, to benefit other. And look, I know that some rich people donate a ton to charity, but this is all about leveling things up. This is the crap in certain foreign countries that they don't sweat. Where you live in this house, everybody lives up. Hey, your house looks just like mine, which looks just like Freddie's down the street, which looks just like that. And you know what? They don't sweat the fact that, hey, that guy just drove down the street in a Lamborghini. They don't sweat that crap. They really don't.
I think we'd all be fine with paying taxes and more taxes if we actually trusted the government's use of our money.
That, you know what? And that is a valid point. I agree. There's corruption. And we got to get it. Anyway,
what if California countered with this and said that he still has to pay the money, but he could donate it to a charity?
I don't know. You know what?
He could go to one of Brett Favre's crooked charities and get all his money back.
In the Super Bowl, the losers get paid too. They make $103,000. You know, that's the losing share. Not bad. Not bad work. But they put their asses on the line. They work their asses off too.
And the NFL slowly kills them all with concussions, so they've earned their money.
Bingo. Finally today, a guy in Sacramento, California got arrested this week for stealing beehives.
Oh, no.
The kind that are in boxes that you see, sure. Not on trees.
Not on trees, Josh.
Cops got a report on Tuesday about some bee boxes I love those. I
was going to say, you're an excellent bee boxer, aren't you?
That'll be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bee boxes that showed up on a piece of property in Yolo County. That's near Sac, the Big Sac. They noticed some markings on the boxes had been altered to hide the fact that they were stolen. So they set up a sting operation.
Yes.
They staked out the spot and arrested the guy when he showed up. There's a photo of him in handcuffs, still wearing the beekeeping outfit. 47-year-old Leonid Terzi is facing felony theft charges. No word on why he stole the hives, but he's probably not just a big fan of honey. Farms pay a lot of money to have those hives brought in when their crops need pollinating. There have been famous stars who kept bees as well because it's very lucrative. One that comes to mind, conservative talker Larva Ingram. I'm so sorry.
I like it.
Astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
Now that's funny.
Music mogul Hive Davis.
Second day that we've mentioned Clive on the show.
Rocker Sting.
Ah.
And of course, the best of them all, Queen Latifah.
I get it.
Thank you, everybody. I'm so sorry.
You know, Mike, I actually have two B's myself.
You do?
Yeah, in my name.
Hey, Rob with two B's. That's the way that goes.
There you go. Yeah.
How about that?
That's the name of that tune.
Uh-huh. A well-built wardrobe is about pieces that work together and hold up over time. That's what Quince does best. Premium materials, thoughtful design, and everyday staples that are easy to wear and easy to rely on. Even as the weather shifts, Quince has the everyday essentials that I love with quality that lasts. Organic cotton sweaters, polos for every occasion, lighter jackets that keep you warm in the changing season. The list goes on and on. Quince works directly with top factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're not paying for brand markup. Just quality clothing, everything built to hold up to daily wear and still look good season after season. Plus, they only partner with factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. My new cashmere sweater, ridiculously soft. And what's cool, it does keep you warm and it's also lightweight. Very, very cool. And in Quince's case, it doesn't cost a fortune. It's swell, as Rob likes to say.
It is swell.
Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/TMOS for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/TMOS. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/TMOS. All right. Look, Rob, this is bittersweet to talk about this, but I've been thinking about you a lot because of the situation where your dad came home yesterday and is in the house now. And you said it was kind of a rough night, but he's home now, and hopefully things are calming down a little
bit. Well, I mean, he's only been home for, 19 hours? So, I mean, we don't have a system in place yet, but he was happy to come home. It is really rewarding to have him in his home. We've got two great nurses that are alternating 12-hour shifts for the next couple days. It'll help him get straight and everything worked out. But I tried to stay as positive yesterday as I could. But when they arranged for his transfer, and I called it a body transfer, but I guess I shouldn't because that sounds like a corpse. So when they arranged for the patient transfer, they showed up at the place, the home where he was at, and they said, okay, Go ahead home. We'll be just behind you and you can be there to receive us. I said, great. So Kathy and I hop in the car. We come home. It's only about a 15-minute ride. And we had spent the night before moving the furniture and making sure they had a clean passage to get in because it's a small place. And they get here and I see exactly what's got to happen. And they say, can we see where the patient is headed?
Has he lost a lot of weight, by the way, since this all started going down?
Probably for the first time in 40 years, he's under 200 pounds.
Okay. All right.
He's lost probably 70 pounds. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So they come in and they look around and they both look like regulars on the new Saturday Night Live. Young, maybe handsome in some people's eyes, but they certainly think they're handsome. And really just
now, hold on. Let me examine that one a little. That comment is based on what when you say that? They've got an attitude?
Yeah, they've got a little bit of stride, you know, a little bit of strut when they come in. Let me see what this pathway is going to look like. And
Thank you, Smikey K, for the $20 super chat in honor of HBS. But when you answer that question, you kind of cement it for me because what I hear, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, when you're saying that attitude is also a minimal humanity thing
How would you like it, Mike, if you had been in pain since Halloween and the two people that are taking care of you are Mikey Day and Marcelo Hernandez?
Well, and I get it.
That falls in line with what Kelly and I talk about all the time, that the younger generation doesn't know social cues and doesn't know how to interact with people in a sales type system. Same type of thing here.
Yeah. There's got to be a little sensitivity when you're doing something like this.
Of the two of them, I think Marcelo is the lead guy. And he comes in and he says, we're going to want to bring him in head first. Meaning, you know, because it's a stretcher and it's on wheels. And I start doing the path in my head because, you know, I used to move furniture for a living. That's what I did for a while. Mm-hmm. And I figured out four different ways. And every way that he comes in head first and they turn around, he's not facing the right way when he gets into the bedroom. Every way I figured it. And I almost said something to these two Saturday Night Live regulars that he needs to come in feet first. But you know what? This is what they do. So I'm going to let them do it. So you get my dad and he's coming in and he's not agitated, but bothered and upset because a transfer is a big deal. That's a lot of stress on any patient. And they come in and they do exactly what I thought they'd do. Straight in, hard right with his head facing the kitchen, nice sweep into the bedroom so that he is exactly 180 degrees the wrong way for getting him into bed.
With not a lot of room to maneuver.
Right? No room to maneuver. None. Yeah. And so they have to take him out of the bedroom and spin him while he's out in the outer living room. All this time, all my dad wants is to not be on wheels on a bed that's 14 inches wide. He just wants out of it. And they don't know what they're doing.
Because I would imagine he's been in it for quite a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't open my mouth. I should have, because I saw this coming 40 miles away. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so if you got two people that come to your house that look like Saturday Night Live regulars, oversee them. Make sure they do it right. Don't have Kyle Mooney help your father.
So it's a thing. It becomes a thing.
It becomes a whole thing. And, you know, he's been working towards getting home for 4 months. This is the reward. And all they do is make it utter hell for him. So great job. That's all. I'm sorry I had to bitch.
Was he looking forward to going home?
Absolutely. It was probably the brightest part of his week this week is when we told him that.
Well, on a brighter note, how are the caregivers that are there with him now? And by the way, folks, if you think this is a downer, this is important to us and we have to talk about it. So how are they? How are they doing with him?
Fantastic. He had not a great night. We had a male nurse overnight who literally was able, you know, when his blood sugar gets wicked low, he can't really even swallow. Because you know, he doesn't have the facility. So this guy right away pulls out of his bag a Coke and a syringe, and he starts not with a needle, just like a plunger syringe. And he starts squirting Coke into my dad's mouth.
Did you ask for some too?
I did.
Line of the day, ladies and gentlemen, for Mr. Josh Sirogo, who is also a little under the weather today, yeah. And he gets that one off. Way to
but,
go.
But, you know, and we had to go through this twice last night, but I would have never thought of that. And he woke up in a better humor, and he had breakfast, and we've got an appointment, telehealth, with his endocrinologist today to help get the sugar stuff worked out. Because, as I said, he's not even been home for a day yet. We've got a buddy. System to establish.
Oh, man. But, you know what? I've been thinking about you a lot.
I appreciate it.
I'm really, really glad he's home. But, you know, I know that this is not an easy time for your boy, Rob, to be doing this. And I'm just glad you're there with his wife. And I'm glad that he's home. That's a good thing.
Not even 300 cheers for Kathy, his wife, who a lot of people
have
met.
What a sweetheart she is. She's such a good lady, really.
The greatest. And the way she has patience with him and talks to him and gets him through these situations is really something quite stunning to watch. And I love her very much. And what she's done has been extraordinary. So thank you.
Good for you guys. Good for you guys. You know, I wish you nothing but better days ahead. And hopefully this transfer, you know, makes it better for him.
Yeah.
And I think probably the nurses that are on duty here are giving you guys a little tutorial, and specifically Kathy, because you're not going to be there forever. But that's just great. And there's so many people. I really think that, you know, when you talk about caregivers, the people, the nurses that work in the hospital and the nurses that work in schools and the nurses that work, in the convalescent homes and places like that. The majority of them are good folk and do amazing things.
I've been in contact, close contact with a lot of nurses in my life, and I've only met one that wasn't great, and she was still pretty good. So, I mean, nurses are the backbone of healthcare. Doctors are great and they're brilliant, but the nurse is what gets things done. And these two that we have, Jennifer is our nurse today. And she's fantastic. She just knows what's going on. She spots him. She says, I think he's in pain. We can take care of that. Just, you know, they have a radar for making the patient comfortable. So this is a lot of unexplored ground for me. So
I'll say this, you know, people talk about how I bust Rob's chops, but I will say this. I had my sister up in New England who was closer physically, geographically to my mom, who did a great job with my mom. You do not have a sibling, but you are the definitive good son, and you are stepping up the way. I will always hope that my kids will step up for me the way you've stepped
up
for
your dad. Not a chance, Mike. Not a chance. But no, honestly, I think someone told me when Robert was in his care for leukemia, and he's cancer free now, and that's great. But they said you're only going to be handed what you can deal with.
Yep.
And so when this happens, I think that anybody with an ounce of blood would want to be right there with their dad or their mom or any parent.
What it's all about.
Yeah, it really,
it's really,
really
what
is.
It's all about. I mean, it's just it's, you know, it's the whole deal. And you know, I'll be thinking of you. And you know, if you want to do a break at some particular point from Miami and get away, just let me know what's going on, because I know Josh is available and we are. And I know this is a very personal thing, and you live in a very small space there.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they got him turned around. I really am.
I don't get mad very often. I can really sort of roll with things, but I was sort of seething when that happened because it was just a stupid error, and then I didn't correct them. So, you know what? Hooray for everything.
You know what happens, Josh, though? If, you know, like say they're doing the carrying, two guys with one guy, holding one guy, and Rob bitches a little bit, then they go, how about this? You know, and just move their hands out of the way and it goes on the floor.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for sharing that. We will get to the bottom of these Olympics in a second here. But first, I want to tell you about a fine sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show called Avocado Green Mattress.
Yum.
Avocado certified organic mattresses, pillows, and solid wood furniture are made without harmful chemicals with thoughtfully chosen materials designed to support healthier living and more restorative sleep. A great mattress is the key to great sleep, and the Avocado mattress can give give you the best sleep of your life. Better sleep changes your mornings, your energy, and can improve the quality of your entire day. And they can do that with Avocado's mattresses. They're built to last with durable, high-quality materials. Their products are an investment in long-term vitality, not a short-term fix. Invest in your comfort. Every product is thoughtfully made with the planet in mind so you can feel good about the comfort and quality that you bring into your home. Plus, easy financing options with a firm to make your purchase smooth as silk. And best of all, no regrets ever. Avocado sleep trials of up to 1 year ensure you're getting the best mattress for you. Avocado, dream of better. And now they're having a great sale on mattresses. Go to avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS and get up to 15% off. That's avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS for up to 15% off mattresses. avocadogreenmattress.com/TMOS. Okay, I have been a guy that I love the Olympics. It's what I will watch. I will not be surfing the net. I will be watching the Olympics.
And you're a Winter Olympics guy more than a summer.
I love it. That's my favorite, the Winter Olympics. Yeah. Here's the thing. I am detached. I get my TV through YouTube TV, which is a horrible way to get television, in my humble opinion.
I love how cheap it is.
It's cheap. That's why I get it.
No, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap at all. It's very
expensive. Well, it's cheaper than some of the alternatives like DirecTV. That's the way I would look at it.
But you get so much less, so it makes sense.
Okay, but the thing is, my question is this. I have not even surfed because finding stuff on my YouTube TV is problematic for me. And
do you not just put on your NBC affiliate?
But I just haven't done it. I haven't. So is this, let me ask you this question. Heard Peacock, that the best way to watch the Olympics is through the Peacock app. I don't have the Peacock app. I'm not going to get the Peacock app. The regular NBC coverage, is that every night in prime time? Is that the way it is now?
Mike, from what I have seen.
From what you have seen, because you don't know either.
No, but I have skimmed by it because I don't watch the Olympics, but I think on NBC, they're doing what they used to do in days of old, where they will compress the day's events into like the 3-hour presentation in primetime. But if you want to watch them live and see what's going on, then it's all on Peacock. So
they still do all their like CNBC, True TV, all those other stations that no one watches.
And Turner Classic Movies is showing the 1940 Olympics.
That's wonderful. I look forward to that. No, here, you know, I think I'm getting it. And Rob's right. All I had to do was turn on the local affiliate and watch it. It might not have anything to do with the way it's being delivered. It might be the way it's been promoted. And
it's the way they've marketed. They've wanted Peacock to be big for so long. And it's not even in the sight of the front of the line. Peacock is a lousy app with lousy content.
Thank you, Bruno, for the $10 super chat. We really appreciate that. All of you that drop a super chat on us, we really appreciate those. They keep them coming, folks. Thank you very much.
Just checking my YouTube TV guide, and Olympics start at noon today on the NBC affiliate.
Okay. All right. Okay. Then I will make an effort because it really is fun. And there's
skiing,
some great. Yes.
And then luge. Then women's snowboard half pipe. Speed skating.
No, you know what? I like the half pipe too. I like that. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch that. I take that back. I didn't mean to poo-poo the half pipe.
Quit with the poo-pooing.
Right.
Olympics go until 6, and then they take 2 hours off and come back at 8.
Just enough time to watch wheel, Mike.
When you talk about the half pipe, we had a girl at American University.
Stop it. That's not what we're talking about.
I'm so sorry. That's wild stuff.
And also, thanks to everyone that did their super chats today. And you know that because you've done that, you will be in our prayer circle.
That's right. We're going to put you on the wall. We're going to put them in the Hall of Faith. Was it Jim Baker that had the Hall of Faith?
The Hall of Faith, yes.
There's so many that run together that remind me. Oral Roberts, City of Faith.
Remember, Mike, the 700 Club, named because you got to be a member if you donated $700.
Yeah. And that's back when, as they like to say, the old farts, $700 was real money.
Yeah, piece of change. But yeah. Pat Robertson needed it.
There we go. You know, I think really when we think about going forward, might be a good idea to exploit our boy here.
Sure.
You know, from that side. Would I have to, if I was really to make a push for the evangelical, or, well, you're not evangelical. If I was going to be, are you evangelical?
Yes, I'm evangelical.
Oh, you are evangelical. If I was going to... Look at the disdain he said that
well,
way.
Mike, we've only worked with him for 2 years.
Well, so. I thought no, he was multi-denominational.
It's more of preparing. It's more of just preparing for where this conversation's going.
Okay.
That's the face. The face is, what are you trying to get out of me?
I'm thinking, you know, if we made a real push.
Because I don't agree with any of these TV evangelists.
Okay.
Okay, but would you be willing to host a prayer breakfast? Mike cooks sausage and eggs, and you dine with all of the people. Oh,
yes, God. The next live show, I will do the prayer heals as well.
Josh, I'll ask you this question, and then we'll be done with it. If I wanted to appeal on this show to...
You're the worst.
An evangelical listenership, would you have any tips for what I might want to add or subtract?
Yeah, let's add the... we would start every show with prayer and scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get back to you on that one. We'll see where we are.
You know, because this first segment is sort of already the homily. The super chat is the offering. We just need to really just sort of redistribute the show so it follows the service a little better.
Is there any chance I could make the scripture up?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
And also, I'd like to take this moment, Mike, between you and Josh and myself, to offer a sign of Christ's peace.
All right. And then my reading for the day is from the book of Willie and the fine Corinthian leathers.
Now, Willie was not one of the main disciples. He was an assistant disciple.
Well, he was trying to go home, and someone was saying, Willie won't go home.
Willie won't go.
Anyway, Will, do you have a beautiful video for us today?
Mike, today with a musical bent, I think you will
enjoy
it.
Ooh, that's exciting. We will do that in just 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. But first, I want to tell you about Incogni. This episode is powered by Incogni, the bodyguard for your personal data. You must know this. Data brokers are vacuuming up your info, names, addresses, even social security numbers, and selling it to evil, evil people, scammers, spammers, unsavory marketers. You know how you know it's them? Because you answer the phone and you say hello, and they're like 6 seconds before the person gets on and goes,
Mr. Mira? Mike!
All the creeps out there. That's why your phone never stops buzzing like a bee. Your inbox is chaos and identity theft is always circling. And your data breaches climb every single year. Incogni hits back. They automatically remove your data from over 200 brokers, keep monitoring around the clock, and fight back when brokers push back. The result? You stay out of their lists, off of them, period. With 4 flexible plans, protection for you and your family, and a 30-day money-back guarantee, Incogni fits your life and locks down your data. Bottom line, if your info's out there, you need Incogni. Please check them out. Use code TMOS at Incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's Incogni.com/TMOS. Take it away.
I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry, Todd, Don, and Mike, the morning zoo. Okay.
Oh, he's obsessive Mike, that way, you know.
Yeah, send me that clip, so he's now got to do it every time.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Mike, I have 2 regions where a lot of great video and audio has come to me through the years. One, of course, is the state of Florida. And one is the city of Philadelphia. I don't know why Philly is so ripe with colorful folks. Do you want to start with Philadelphia or Florida?
Philadelphia today.
All right, Mike, there has been a run on people that have just turned 21 going into bars in Philadelphia. And with the advances in AI, fake IDs are really easy to get. So now they're making it so you have to be 25 to get into a bar.
Oh my
but
God.
I think you're going to love this Philly fake ID.
Do you hear that? That was a bunch of Irish people going, oh my God.
Mike, I think you're going to appreciate this fake ID.
Philadelphia is dealing with some underage people trying to sneak their way in. Even one who got creative, flashing a fake ID with a picture of one of our founding fathers. The bar says someone tried to use this ID of Benjamin Franklin to get into Dirty Frank's bar in Philadelphia. In response, Dirty Frank's says it's raising its minimum age from 21 to 25.
Dirty Frank.
The bar owner says it's frustrated with underage patrons sneaking in, smuggling their own alcohol.
That's enough, Josh. But the thing that is so great, I looked closely at the Ben Franklin ID, the address they gave on it. Is the Liberty Bell. So,
Rob, can I have, if you don't mind, I have a creepy moment? If you don't mind, just roll that one more time. Just the anchor part. Just the anchor part. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on.
Philadelphia is dealing with some underage people trying to sneak their way in. Even one who got creative.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I am a creep. I'm sorry. I'm a creep. Where'd Rob go? There. Did he go now? Now he's vanished. Now it makes That's like spotlighting my creepiness. Did this happen because I wanted to look at the anchor lady again? What's wrong with me? I'm terribly sorry. Yesterday it was Paulina Poroskova. Today it's the anchor lady. I can't help myself.
I know. I got kicked out because of your horniness, Mike. But I'm back now.
She had a way. Sorry, it was a manner thing. Go ahead.
Mike, bring her up at dinner tonight.
You should know that was no surprise.
Two for Mike. Him today. Wow.
No surprise. That was a Los Angeles anchor talking about Philadelphia.
Oh, it was an L.A. anchor.
So there, if it had been for Philadelphia,
a second, I thought Philadelphia. Oh,
no.
Not a chance.
I knew. I'm sorry.
Philadelphia anchor be like.
Ben Franklin. Mike, there are certain songs that you imagine just always existed, and that's why I found this fascinating. This is right after he wrote this song, which is called Linus and Lucy, and you know it from every Peanuts special. But here is Vince Guaraldi, the man who composed it, actually playing the song before it was on the Charlie Brown special.
Oh, wow. Okay. Looks nothing like I would think he looks.
He looks groovy, doesn't he?
One of the most iconic tunes ever.
And one of the, Christmas or secular aside, one of the greatest albums ever. Well,
and impossible to think of without the Peanuts.
Yeah.
I don't hear anything
that sounds like that. Isn't that neat to watch?
You know, when I've been around pianos and I dabble, I do that lower part, you know, just fun, nothing else but the. That's so cool.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Thank you, Josh. And my other musical thing, I have always been a fan of Michael McDonald, the singer from the Doobie Brothers, and more so now since he did that Yacht Rock documentary where he came off like a hero. And he did an interview with a guy named Rick Beato, who is a great musicologist. Notably, we've had Rick Beato's son in the vault before because the son has perfect pitch. But when Michael McDonald was talking to Rick Beato, he talked about his first band, Michael McDonald's first band when he was 16. And listen to 16-year-old Michael McDonald hit all the notes. This is great. You'll know the song, actually. It's written by Burt Bacharach, and it was a 60s hit and an 80s hit.
Not a bad recording for a
garage band. No, it sounds to me like they might have got some help. Well, here's Michael McDonald. The streets you used to walk along with me. I can't help
but recall the way all those used to be. Great voice, even when he's not feeling the expectation. The young Michael McDonald.
Thank you, Josh. But, you know, when I was 16, it would have been always something there to remind me.
And then, 10 years later, he turned into a Muppet and started singing you don't know me,
but
I
But anyway, if you ever see this Rick Beato, Michael McDonald interview, you should watch it because he's pretty, pretty notable guy just musically. I'm a big fan. Okay, let's close with this. Mike, you think you had a bad day at work. Now, did you know?
I rarely have a bad day at work, Rob.
Did you know that the flags that skiers have to go around when they're in the Winter Olympics. They look like they're sort of flimsy, you know, like they would have
like
a
they're
lot of
plastic, gift. Flexible, yeah. So that they can clip them on the way to get a good run.
Well, it turns out that they're a little more robust than we thought. Let's look at this French skier.
Oh no!
Draw.
Hit him in the ball.
Oh, the gate to the groin for Yannick Bertrand, and you could hear it.
Oh, my God.
And if you're a man, you could feel it. Wow. Oh. Watch this again.
Oh,
the Frenchman.
Him.
Oh, my God. Monsieur. Wow, the boys took a beating on that one. Mm.
That's like a fake announcer, right? That's
no,
a fake announcer.
No.
Is that
NBC.
A real like Olympic
it's
guy
NBC,
that's
yeah.
that's focusing on the balls? Boy, yes. Broadcasting has progressed, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's the hardest a ball has been hit since the last time Carla went to Target.
Oh, you never forget. I appreciate
that. It's a
that.
Great running joke. Hit the music, John.
We got to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new bonus, and I will utilize part of that. Rob's got a game. Do you want to promote
game.
The
yeah.
game? What,
yeah,
what's it called?
It's beautiful. It's called Over Under, and you and Josh will have to fight neck and neck to see who wins.
Oh, there we
over
go.
Under.
There you go, pitting us against each other again.
It's not political.
Like we don't get enough of that during the regular week. I will be back with Josh and Rob tomorrow, and I will also be venting about something I shouldn't vent about. It's me. For those haters that are out there, if you really like to hate me, this isn't going to make you hate me a lot, but it's going to make you realize that when you have negative thoughts about me, you are spot on. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow for Josh and Rob, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye, folks.